Paul was a living example to those around him. And he had been transformed and he had been given new life. He had been given a new purpose. Because before he had a life and he had a purpose, but it wasn't God's, right? He was not a good man. He was out persecuting Christians. And it's crazy how to think the tables had turned on Paul, right? He went from being the persecutor to the persecuted. And so he was a living example for us to lay our eyes on, but he was also a living example for young Timothy as Timothy followed him through the corn maze of ministry, as he was being discipled by Paul, as he was learning and growing as they were doing ministry together. And Paul reminded him, because he said, where did he say? He said, but thou, right? He said that, but thou, but though, Timothy, remember, you were with me when some of these things were happening. And you need to understand and remember that those persecutions and those things that were happening to my life and even to yours, that God gave us the ability to endure that, right? And through that, he gave us strength, and we grew in our relationship with him, because we had to cling to him, we had to trust him, we had to just do everything for him, because, man, we had nothing else. And the world was out to get us. And you know, we're going to face persecution. We're going to face persecution if we desire to live a godly life. And I'm not saying that those that don't live for the Christ don't face persecution, but I'm here to testify that if you're living your life for the glory of God, you absolutely, positively will face persecution in this lifetime. It's coming. And if it hasn't, it will be. And the question that we are asked is it worth it to us? Is the persecution that we face, the hard times, the trials, the tribulations, all of those things, is it worth it to be called a child of God? Or are we okay just living a life that just gets by, satisfying the flesh? And I hope not, because we need to crucify the flesh and live for Jesus. You know, the pains and the hurts and all of the things that come along with this life, man, they're just temporary. And if we will just remember that, because oftentimes we find ourselves in our day-to-day life that we're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to face this battle today. I don't know how I'm going to get through this sickness that I'm facing. I don't know how I'm going to get through working with so-and-so at my job anymore. I just don't understand how I'm going to do it. And man, if we would just tap into the source, if we would just trust God and follow him, man, he will lead us and he will guide us and he will direct us. And those pains and hurts that are temporary, man, we just need to remember that we get to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we have to look forward to. So let's look at the passage today. We're going to finish the chapter. We're going to look at verses 13 through 17. And so it says in 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Father God, we pray today that that's the end goal. And God, that we pray that we would just be willing vessels to just be obedient to your word, to be changed by your word, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind daily. And God, that we would just be complete in you. And God, I pray today that you would be magnified, you'd be glorified, we would be changed, not you. And Father, that we would just shout it from the rooftop. We would sing it wherever we go, like we just did. And so, God, we thank you. We pray you just speak through me today. Get me out of the way, and just Father, do your word would just go forth powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I titled this simply, "When we continue in His Word, we will be changed." Okay, when we continue in God's Word, we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we will be changed. And we were changed, right, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment when we believed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were changed. Does that mean that the change is done? No, the change continues, right? We're changed from a lost sinner dying, going to hell, to a born-again believer going to spend eternity with Jesus. But that doesn't mean that our life is complete. At the moment of salvation, everything's changed. All's gone, everything's perfect. No, there's a time of sanctification, right? That time of sanctification is the time that, man, a lot, if we'd be honest, a lot of us wish we could just skip, right? We could go from salvation to glorification and skip all of this time period that we're going through right now, the hard times, the growing pains, right? Because it's hard to grow and it's painful and we have to be disciplined. And if we would just, man, if we could just skip that, we could be with Jesus, right? But that's not what he intended. If that was the case, we would say, man, I want to be born again. God, I believe the gospel. I believe that you died and was buried, rose again on the third day. I believe that. And I want to be saved. And then boom, straight to heaven, right? If that was his intent, that's what would happen. But no, he says, okay, you want to be a child of me? Well, we got some work to do, right? We have some work. We got to get after it because there's your neighbors, your friends, your family, your coworkers, the world that lives around you needs to hear the same message. And that's painful. It's hard sometimes, right? Because we're like, okay, I'm gonna go share the word with somebody, and you freeze up. You're like that pit of your stomach. You know, you're just like, oh, something's wrong. I can't. Now I'm mute. I can't speak. God, what'd you do? That's our flesh. That's our flesh. So, we need to continue in God's word so that we can be changed. Not just when, here's the thing. Oftentimes, even believers, and even lost people, even people that don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, when there's a problem, right, they pray, right? Because that's what you do, you pray. Some people don't even know what they're praying to, or who they're praying to, or what they're praying for. But how often do we go to God's word? Okay, we pray, and then we're like, we sit. And God's like, the answers are right here, right? Are you waiting for a billboard, right? And you know, crazy enough, he can speak through billboards, right? He can, but that's not where we get our answers. We're like, oh, but there it is. That it said yes on that billboard, right? Well, that's easy. Okay, we can go searching for our answers in the world, but what if we dove into God's word? And what if we went searching for God, not to nitpick, but just to read his word and allow him to speak back to us, and he'll answer us. And it's not all the time going to be what we want.
That's right.
It's not always going to be that big flashing yes on the big billboard, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to be a big fat no, or wait, just hang on, trust me. But that's not what, you know, the reason that we don't is because we're looking for our answer. We're not looking for God's answer. We don't want all the time, okay? We don't want to change. Oftentimes, change means pain. Oftentimes, change means heartache. So what happens when he tells you things need to change? Things need to change in your life. And this can be in so many different things, but what about if God was to say, you need to change locations, okay? And I'm hoping you guys aren't, but what if he does, okay? The Grashers just changed locations, okay? God told them, you need to change locations. And I don't know about any of you all, but I hate moving, okay? It is the worst thing in the world. The moving part, okay, the packing and the unpacking, man, it's awful, right? It's terrible. It'd be a lot easier if we could just say, we're leaving all this here, we're going to buy new stuff here, but I don't have just pockets full of money, so I can't do that. So we load all of our junk up, and we take all of our junk to our new place, and we pile all of our junk there. Like, God, I don't like change, but I really like this new place. What about all of the baggage that comes along with that? What if he tells you, go to your neighbor? Go knock on your neighbor's door. Go meet your neighbor while they're cutting their grass. Go meet their neighbor while they're getting their mail. And just, man, what if we would just do that and introduce ourselves to them and use that to begin to build a relationship? And what if he says, take that farther and take God's word to them, take the gospel to them? What if, and you're like, hold up, I'm not an evangelist. Well, yeah, you are, because you have a voice. We have a voice. Nobody, I've not met anyone at New Life that says, I can't talk, right? All of it. Some of us really like to talk. Some of us really like to use our voice. But when it comes to God's word, we become mute. We become mute. Maybe one reason is because we just simply don't know God's word. And maybe another reason is just we don't trust him enough to use us. Right? We need to get in God's word. We need to know it. We have to live it so that he can use us. So when change is coming, you know, we can make excuses, we can ignore it altogether. But here's the thing, God's word is powerful, and we are a part of God's word. We're given power by God to do the unthinkable. And Timothy was trained up by Paul and was allowed to do ministry with him and learn how things work, but now he finds himself alone. He finds himself pastoring a church, and things are not easy. As they, you know, from the outside looking in, things might be like, man, that's super easy. Everything's going great. But from the inside looking out, maybe not so much. But what's awesome about their relationship, about Paul and Timothy, is, you know, Paul discipled Timothy and invested in him, still investing in him. But what's so awesome about their relationship is that Paul checks in on Timothy. Paul checks in on his friend. Paul encourages his friend. Paul writes letters to him. While Paul is suffering persecution, he's writing a letter to his friend, his brother in Christ, to encourage him, to give him some instruction, to give him some help. That's how much love Paul had for Timothy. That's how their relationship, you know why? Because their relationship was built around God's word. It wasn't built on, man, he's a really good at doing this, and I really like doing this, so we're going to build a relationship on that. No, it was built up around God's word, so it was an eternal relationship. And the word had been transferred from Paul to Timothy, and they had done ministry together. And if anybody's done ministry with anybody, you know that that bond that is formed in ministry, man, it's like no other bond that you can have. So many of my closest friends came from serving God with them. Whether that be in the children's ministry or in the youth group or on the circuit preaching God's word in different churches or going to the foreign mission field or to the not-so-foreign mission field, whatever it was, those relationships are like none that I ever experienced. So in our text today, we have 4 points we're going to look at. And the first one, verse 13, you're like, well, that doesn't really go along with this. Well, God wanted it to go along with it, so in verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So things are getting worse and will continue to do so. Okay, you all live in the same world I do, and you understand that things are getting worse by the second of every day, okay? And oftentimes when you're talking to somebody, you're like, even us, right, or even them, they'll say, man, I sure hope things are turning around. I sure hope things are getting better. Well, in fact, the moral of the story, the truth of it is, it's not going to, okay? It's not going to. And we base so much of that on even like gas prices, right? This is ridiculous, okay? A year ago, I could afford to fill up my truck. Now it's like, okay, that's it. I can get to work, okay? And we base so much of that on, well, man, the world's just going to you know where. Right. Things are getting worse and will continue to do so. So this verse follows Paul telling us that those that choose to live godly, they'll suffer persecution. So before we talk about the state of the world and those that are deceiving and being deceived, let's touch on the suffering one more time, okay? Because we need to understand that all of us today have suffered at some point. At some point in our life, we've suffered, whether it be heartbreak, heartache, loss, being hated, being made fun of, ignored, our health. You get the point. We've all suffered something, okay? We've all suffered. And the question is, how do we suffer? Right? How do we? Some people suffer in silence, and you would never know that something's going on in their life. But some suffer and make sure that everybody knows, right? Hello, I'm suffering here, right? We all know, maybe it's us, right? We all know somebody like that. And so some suffer in silence, some make sure that everybody knows about it, and some suffer and just do their best to just flush it out, right? I'm suffering, but I'm just going to do the best of it, and I'm going to figure a way out of this. But some, or what if we suffered and trusted God and just lived by faith and know that he will give us what we need to endure no matter the outcome? Just like we read in our passage from last week, how Paul said, man, there's so much stuff going on in my life, but I know that God will deliver me, right? In verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, right? But out of them, all the Lord delivered me. The Lord is who delivers us through those things. The Lord is who gives us what we need to sustain. Because he's the giver and the taker, right? He can just end it all right now. So we look for, here's the thing. This is what that most people, and I'm not going to say everybody, but this is what most people, if they were honest, is what we look at or look to. We look to the outcome of how it's going to affect us before we engage in what's going on, right? We look to see if we can get a hint, okay, I think that's what's going to happen if I do this. So I'm not going to engage in that. That's not for me. And the problem is we miss all of the blessings between here and here. And those blessings come in all different shapes and all different sizes. And even blessings come from suffering. Because, man, if we will just suffer for Jesus, he will grow us and he will mold us. So we look to that outcome. And Paul follows this up by stating, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And the word wax here, right? You're like, well, wax means to polish your car, right? Because we need to make sure that thing is shiny. But this word wax here, if you look it up, take the Strong's and look it up, or whatever you want to do and look it up. This word wax here, it means to drive forward or advance, increase, or proceed. Okay, so these men that Paul is speaking of here are going to be around. They're going to be in our lives. And they're going to keep moving forward. And they are set out to seek and destroy anything in their path. They're going to just annihilate that stuff. And they're going to keep moving forward. And they're just going to keep doing what they're doing. And this is only going to get worse, just as Paul says here. Think about how things have progressed since Paul wrote this letter to Timothy until today. Okay? Now, I'm not saying things weren't bad then, because they were. But man, I think that obviously they're going to get wax worse and worse, so they're just continuing to get worse. And the two things that we see here that Paul says is that they are deceiving. They are the creeps that we talked about back in verse 5 and so on, right? They are the ones that are having a form of godliness but denying the power of. They are the ones that are creeping into those houses. These are the ones, man, they're deceiving, right? They're like, they're dressed in a costume of something that they're not, right? They're wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're doing whatever it takes to deceive those that are around them, and they're causing others to roam. They're sneaky. In Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. In 2 John 1, verse 9 through 11, it says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not the doctrines, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that abideth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So we must be aware of those that are having an impact in our lives, right? We have to be prudent. We have to be diligent. We have to have our eyes open. We got to understand and see, because oftentimes we walk around blind and we wonder why we're deceived by someone. The second thing, is it hot in here?
Yeah.
Hayden, why don't you turn the air conditioner on? I need a handkerchief, right? It probably just needs to be turned down. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Everybody's always cold, and I'm like, maybe I'm just... Okay. The second thing is that they're being deceived. Not only are they deceiving, but they're also being deceived. They themselves are deceived. The reason that they are deceiving others is because they themselves have been deceived. Someone or something has made an impact on them, right? They read something or somebody shared something with them and it's made an impact on them, but it wasn't from truth, right? Oftentimes, man, we can like get on the internet or read a magazine article or something and we're like, man, that was pretty nice, right? That was eloquently wrote. And man, that really tickled my ears. And I'm going to share that with somebody else, not understanding maybe who wrote it, right? Or what their motives were for writing it. And then before you know it, it has blown up. And we've been deceived and we've deceived others. And there was no truth found in it. And that's the problem. You got to be careful if you're like searching the internet for a good feel-good message out of God's word, be careful, okay? Because there's deceivers out there as well. And they'll sprinkle a little bit of truth in there that, man, ooh, that sounded so good. And, ooh, man, that makes me feel good, right? Because that's what we want to feel good, right? We want that feeling. That's a fleshly desire. And it wears off super fast, right? Just like a drug addict. They do drugs. Why? Because they want that feeling. And then they wear off. Man, now I need more, right? And then they go chasing that. And before you know it, we know where they're at. Okay, so don't be like that. Don't be deceived. Don't be a deceiver. The truth is far from them. And they just want to make sure that anyone that's around them is that way as well. So the second point is continue. Okay, so we've seen that things are going to get worse and worse as the days go on. And then here we see, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So even though Timothy was dealing with those that sought to disrupt what was happening in many believers' lives, Paul instructed Timothy to do something about it, right? Don't just let it go on. Do something about it. But it wasn't to get mad. It wasn't to flesh out. It wasn't to shun them. It wasn't to make an example of them, but it was to focus, right? Paul says, Timothy, you need to continue. You need to make sure that you're focused, make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus and to continue, to stay or to abide, right, is what that means. To continue means to stay or to abide. And I'll share a couple verses with you out of here, and I don't have them copied in here, but I promise you these are correct, right? I'm not taking you to a verse that's not. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says this. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Right? We have to, man, we need to abide in Christ. We need to make sure that we are where we're supposed to. In Psalm chapter 91, it says this. In Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust?" What if we dwelt in the secret place, right? What if we tucked ourselves underneath God and used Him as our protector, as our provider and all? Man, what if we would do that? How crazy would that be? How can we honestly say, God is my refuge. God is my fortress. I trust Him with my life. Can we honestly say that today? But some of us may, some of us may not. And some of us are like, I do sometimes, but sometimes I don't. Because, you know, sometimes I just think I can do it on my own. And then I realize, God, I need your grace. I need you to pour it out because I've messed up again and I can't do this. And you know what? He's so full of love and grace that He's like, He just pours it out. Yes, thank you, God. The Word of God had been invested into Timothy for many years. And he was to remember. He was to remember what he had learned. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Oftentimes we're forgetful. He was to continue in what he was sure of, but what was that? It was the truth. He was to stay and he was to abide in God's word, right? He was to make sure that he was submersed in that. Why? Well, first and foremost, he was a proclaimer of it. He needed to be able to teach it and preach it, but he also needed it to sustain, right? Because he was facing all of these things. He was crazy enough to believe that this book was true. He believed the word of God and he had seen it at work in his life and many of those around him, and he was called by God to proclaim it, and he would have a really hard time proclaiming something that he wasn't sure about. He would. That would be like us doing something that we weren't really sure about, but we were going to try to teach somebody else that. That would probably turn out to be a very bad thing. Well, I've never really done this on my own, right? But I've seen it done, okay? The very first wedding that I did, it was for my cousin. And we were doing some pre-marriage counseling with him and his wife, and then his fiance, obviously. But we were doing some pre-marriage counseling, and I was waiting the whole time for the question to come up, how many weddings have you done? Because I'm like, this is my first one, right? And finally, the very last premarital counseling thing that we did, he's like, so how many weddings have you done? And I'm like, you're the first. We're going to get through this. I've seen it done, right? I've seen it. How many weddings have we been to? I've been through a class on how to do this. And you know what? If you got God's word, that's all we need. And then you have a script, right? You can read a script. And we got through it. But the more you do it, the more you understand it, and the better it can be, and all of that. So just know that we shouldn't just wing things, okay? We need to be taught so that we can continue in those things. First, we need to be taught before we can continue in anything. Paul says, stay focused. Continue. Don't quit. Don't give in to enticing words that may sound good, but they have no truth behind them. Oftentimes, we get drawn away, like I said, because of something we hear. And we don't even know if it's true or false. And, you know, people leave churches because of things like that. People leave churches because of a rumor or maybe even a lie. People leave the faith because they're hearing something that's tickling their ear or maybe that's really honking them off, right? And there may be no truth behind it. And maybe there is, maybe there's not. But they're not assured of it. But they are fine with just saying, I'm out of here. And it was so important for Timothy to continue in what he had learned and what he was assured of. And the same has to go for us. There are many... There could be many reasons that we want to flesh out or we want to run away. And there may be many reasons that we want to leave church or we don't want to make it a priority to attend. And this is a tactic from the devil himself, okay? This is a tactic because he will put thoughts in your mind, right? Like, okay, when I was going through D1, right? I just got saved right out of the world. I was a drug addict and alcoholic and God transformed me, changed me, but still I was still Brad, right? So we're going through D1, and every time that meeting time would come around that week, my flesh was like, make up an excuse, make up an excuse, make up an excuse, right? You didn't do your memory verses. You're just going to have to make up an excuse. And you know what? Those were the best ones because the flesh was crucified, and I just said, no, I'm going to go, right? And those were that's exactly when you need to be in God's word. When the flesh is saying, you don't need that. The devil's whispering in your ear. You don't really need that this week. You don't need to worry about that. Don't worry about memorizing verses because you're just going to forget them. That's exactly when you need to dig in and say, man, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And man, that's when, because we're weak, right? And that's when God can make us strong. So don't allow the tactics of the devil to stop you from continuing your growth, continuing to abide in him. And we need to be, we are the body of Christ. And we need to make sure that we're assembling ourselves together to edify one another, to hold each other accountable. And Timothy knew this, but he was just a human, as you and I, right? So Paul's reminding him, continue, Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, okay? You've seen it in my life, right? And Christ leads us. So he's our teacher, and we need to remember who's teaching us and just continue to press forward. He was to continue pressing on and doing his role, just like we are to do our role. Our third point is to have childlike faith in verse 15. And it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What made Timothy who he was this day? What motivated him to do what he was called to do? It was the Holy Scripture. It was the Holy Scriptures of God. It was this Bible that we hold in our hand, right? It was this that is what made Timothy who he was. Although they didn't have the whole Bible at this time, but they had the Old Testament. And man, that's what molded Timothy into who he was. The Scriptures that he was taught by his mother and grandmother when he was young is what brought him to salvation. It wasn't because of their faith, right? Man, Timothy's mom and grandma, they were holy rollers, right? They were amazing. And that rubbed off on Timothy. No, it was because of what they were investing into Timothy is what made him who he was, okay? It wasn't because of who they were, okay? Obviously, who they were is why they invested the Word of God into Timothy's life. But who they were is who they were, right? We are who we are. It's the Word of God is what comes in and changes us. And they were faithful. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Man, why are we invested in the lambs back there? Man, to bring them wise into salvation. Not to put them in a Jesus headlock and say, you can't go home with mom and dad until you say this prayer. No. Right? We're just investing God's word one seed at a time, one seed at a time, one week at a time, so that one day those seeds, man, they'll germinate. One day life will be bloomed out of that. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is and because of how powerful his word is. So this childlike faith, man, that's what we need.
Amen.
Not to act like a child, though, right? Sometimes my wife tells me I'm acting like a child, right? And it's okay, right? Sometimes I do, right? I act like a little child, especially when I'm sick. I act like a baby. She's like, quit acting like a baby. She doesn't say that, but I know that's what she's thinking. Right, because I'm just a big baby. But the childlike faith is not to be, okay, act like a child, right? No, that childlike faith, do you remember the day you got saved, right? You remember the day you surrendered your life to Jesus, and it was like everything was new. And you couldn't help but to radiate that onto everyone. You were giving people Jesus sunburns because it was radiating out of you, and you couldn't help but to tell them what had happened. I could not help, but when that happened, when I got saved, it was on a Wednesday night before Bible study. I knew no one at this church, but I made sure everybody knew that I got saved that day, right? And I didn't care. I didn't care what anybody thought because what had happened to me, and I couldn't help but to tell people about that. And what if that childlike faith wouldn't wear off? What if that zeal that we have, right, when that happened, what if we continued in that? What if, now we're going to grow, okay, but that childlike faith, that faith of, I don't really care what you think about me because I have a message to tell you. And I'm going to tell you whether you want to hear it or not, just like a stubborn child, right? I'm going to do this. I don't care what happens. That boldness that would not let anyone stand in our way. That boldness that we had before the first time that we got rejected sharing the gospel with somebody. That boldness that was like, man, I'm an animal for Jesus. Timothy was led to the Lord by the word of God and was born again believer the same way. You know, our sin is not what leads us to salvation. Salvation is what leads us out of sin. And oftentimes, you know, we even share in our faith, oftentimes we share that, you know, we have to hit rock bottom before we can come back up. And we use that sin as a way of sharing the gospel. That sin is what separates us from God. That sin is not what leads us to him. The sin is what separates us from him. He's what leads us out of that sin. And oftentimes we forget that. The Holy Scriptures are what makes us wise unto salvation. It gives us an understanding. It gives us that light bulb moment like, oh my goodness, I get it now. It points us out of depravity. It points us to the Savior, and it must continue. We must continue in that childlike faith until we meet Jesus. Because oftentimes, like I said, we let situations in life dictate how we're going to share the word or when we're going to share the word, and how often do we allow the devil to slip in and draw us away and stop us from doing that. Church, we have power, power to stand up for what we know is true. Our faith is in Jesus empowers us to live it out. A childlike faith is fresh. It's fresh. Allow it to be new every day. What if we woke up every morning like it was the day of our salvation? And we're like, woo, this is fresh, right? What if we lived by faith every day? What if we trusted God enough every day to just direct us? Because in Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? We live our lives, as believers, we should live our lives to please the Lord, okay? We are to glorify God and reproduce worshipers. That's what we are set here to do. And if we're glorifying him, we're pleasing him. But without faith, right, we wake up one day and we're like, I don't have any faith today. We're not going to please God today. It says, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without God, without faith in God, it's impossible. Without faith, we cannot please him. We need that faith to be new every day. We need that faith to be renewed every day. Not that you're losing it, right? Well, you can lose your faith, but you can't lose your salvation. You can, like, have a bad day. But, man, that faith that saved you is the faith that sustains you. So have that childlike faith when we move through this world. It's okay to act like a child. Doesn't matter what other people say. And then the final one, point four, is complete. Because we need to be completed. In verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This starts out with the word all. All. If you believe that any part of God's word is not inspired by him, then you're saying that there's errors in the Bible. And you're saying that if you say there's one error, then you might as well say there's a million errors, right? All scripture, the whole thing, cover to cover, is inspired by God, right? It's given by inspiration of God. All of it. Everything that we see. Paul reminds us here that all of it, not man's opinion, not man's ideas, but God working through holy men of God to record his word for his people, right? God worked through men to record this, to jot it down, and he's preserved it for us. These words are profitable as we read, and they're going to bring results. They're profitable, and with profit comes results, okay? So the results that we have here are reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The things that God's word brings about are results. To be right with God. Not by the works of man, but by the works of God. He's the word, and when we receive the word, we should expect to be changed, okay? Because when we read his word, and it goes through our brains, and it gets down and begins to filter down and get down here about 18 inches where it belongs, right in our heart. Oftentimes we let it kick out the side door before we get there. But if we would let it go down the right pipe and get right where it needs to be, that's when things start changing. Not when it's here, okay? There's some great people that can quote scripture till tomorrow, and they just know it. But when it comes to here, it's empty. It's not being lived out. Nothing has changed in their life. But man, they are smart cookies. They can teach it, they can quote it, but they can't live it. Because they're trying to do it all on their own. Okay? All of us in here can read, right? We can lay our eyes on this page and we can read. And if you read something enough times, you're going to memorize it. Okay? As a lost man, I could memorize things, okay? But that didn't make any difference because nothing changed. But when we begin to memorize God's word, when we begin to saturate in it, and it begins to like the sweat that's pouring out of me because it's hot in here, right? That's like God's word pouring out on all of us. Nobody's sitting right here, so nobody's getting sweat on them. But that's what happens when we become so saturated with God's word that it's like sweat. And we just like go around. I wish I had like long hair. You just go around flopping it on people, right? You just get God's word on everybody around us because we have so much of it in us. And we can't help but it just creep out on everybody else. I've had men in my life that have done that to me. Praise the Lord, that still do that today. You like walk by them, you're like, gee, many Christmas, right? You are covered in God's word. And you're getting it all over me. Verse 17 goes on. It says, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I want to share one cross-reference in Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll get into this. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says this. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship, okay? We are not like mechanics on people, okay? Like, I am going to fix this person, right? I got my tool right here, and I'm going to beat it like a sledgehammer into their life until they change. No, we are just a vessel that gets to invest that. Let God do the beating with the sledgehammer, right? Because when we begin to beat with a sledgehammer, all we do is drive people away. The man of God may be perfect. That word perfect here is not what we think. When we think of perfect, we're like, we think of our wives, husbands, right? My wife is perfect. That's what when we think of that word, we think of that. Maybe without error or without flaw. The truth behind that, though, becomes, there is truth, okay? Because when we were born again, we're made perfect. You're like, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we're washed by the blood of the Lamb. We're made clean. But that word here, perfect, means to be complete. Complete. Fresh. We are now completed by God, fully restored by our faith in Jesus. Righteous, right with God. Not separated by our old man, but made whole and restored back to God as He intended from the beginning. So often the world believes that being good is good enough. Right? Well, I'm a good person. But that's a lie from the devil, because nobody's good. No one has ever been able to be good enough. Adam was created in the image of them in the garden. Perfect. Right? Perfect in the image of God and Jesus. Man, nothing better. But yet he couldn't be good enough. Sin entered into the picture and messed everything up. This was not the way that God intended things to roll out. Obviously, God is all-knowing, and he knew that this is what was going to happen. I'm sure he's like, oh, yep, this is going to happen. So thousands of years later, God still desires mankind to be reconciled back to him. And there's only one way, right? There's only one way that we can be complete, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's only through Jesus Christ. Not through a sacrifice that we make. Well, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give up doing this so much. Maybe just once in a while. Right? That's how we sacrifice things. Well, maybe not that. Maybe something different. But God says, enough with that. Enough with your sacrificial sacrificing. I'm going to take care of that. And he sacrificed Jesus. And he's like, this is the only thing that will satisfy me. So that mankind will be faced with a choice to repent and believe by faith. This childlike faith that we spoke of. The faith in Christ alone. The faith that restores us. The faith that completes us. The faith that brings about new life. This is what it's all about. Because God offers salvation to anyone that will believe. But oftentimes man tries to earn something that cannot be earned. Stepping into a place that Jesus already did the work for. Trying to be complete without the prize that was freely given to them. Church, if we were born again today, we are a child of the one true King. And it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Right? We like to have furnishings in our homes. Right? We like to have a couch to sit on. We like to have a bed to sleep in. We don't want to sleep on the floor. We don't want to sit on a milk crate. But sometimes that's what we have to do, okay? The thing with us is we don't want to walk around with a cardboard box and a milk crate. God can complete us, and he can thoroughly furnish us. Man, he can use us. He can decorate us in any way. He's like the most amazing interior decorator that has ever existed. And that's what he wants to do in our life. He wants to come in and be like, this stuff's got to go, right? Okay, it'd be like a man and a woman getting together and they moving into his bachelor pad, and she'd be like, yeah, this has got to go, right? We are not living like this. God rolls in our life and he's like, we got to clean some house. We got to refurnish this thing. And all this garbage that you call furniture, it's got to go. And God begins to redecorate. and this time of sanctification that we talked about in the very beginning, man, it's painful. Kenny and I were just talking about when we were headed to the corn maze about moving and how, you know, moving means you get a dumpster sometimes. And sometimes you grab that box and you're like, I've had this for 37 years. I think I might still use this. We got to throw that crap away, right? We got to get rid of it. And that's what God does. He comes in and he's like, this junk that you've been keeping around, it's got to go. It stinks, right? It's moldy. It's got mouse poop in it. It's awful. Get it out of your life. But we're like, I want to keep it for just a little bit longer, right? I've got used to the smell, right? That's the mentality. Well, how do you think hoarding starts, right? I might use this one day. You don't have that many days to use all of this stuff, right? So allow God to come into our life and say, this has got to go. Allow him to pick and choose. Don't do the picking and choosing and say, God, you get rid of what needs to be gotten rid of. Because we won't. We won't. We'll throw the box away and then reach back in and throw it back in. Well, I'm going to keep that one thing, right? And then it contaminates everything. Okay? That's what happens. We're given a certain amount of time on this earth to share truth with those around us, to see others set free and be made perfect. What are we doing with that? What are we doing with it? Are we continuing in God's word so that we can be changed, so that things can be purged, so that God can come in and do work, change the way that our life is rolling, change the way that we're living our life, change the purpose that we think that we have into the purpose that God has for us? Things are getting worse and worse by the second. And what are we doing to counteract that? Right? God has a plan. God knows every second of every day that's going to happen, and he knows exactly when it's going to stop. We don't. I mean, he's not telling us that, because he's like, until that day, continue on. Press towards the mark. Continue to do the work. But what are we doing? Man, we live in a dark world, right? And we've been given this gigantic spotlight, one that we really can't even carry, okay? We use little flashlights once in a while, but what if we used God's giant spotlight and heave that thing up on our shoulder like a boombox and shined it throughout the darkness to change what's going on, to shine into the dark corners of things that don't need to be going on? What are we doing to counteract things getting worse and worse? Are we continuing in God's word? Are we continuing to serve him with our life? Are we continuing to do our role? Do we have childlike faith? Why? Why don't we? Why do we? Are we complete? Are we perfect? Are we suffering and allowing Christ to empower us? We must realize that God's grace is enough to continue, and his strength is magnified in our weakness. His strength is magnified in our weakness. It doesn't matter if we're bodybuilders. It doesn't matter if we are couch surfers. It doesn't make any difference. God doesn't look at the outward. He looks at the inward, okay? And sometimes our faith is weak. And until we admit that, until we cry out to God and he says, finally, you admitted that you're weak. Now I can go to work. Get out of the way. That's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to just cry out to him. Jesus is standing there knocking, right? Waiting for us to answer the door. And if we would just open it and say, come in and get to work. Come in, get to work. And does that mean that we go flop on the couch and sit back and kick our feet up and watch it? No, we just get along with it, right? We follow him. He begins to do work and we're like, I'm getting on that train. I'm following you, Jesus. And before you know it, man, he has changed everything about us. You look back and you're like, I don't even know who that person was. I don't even recognize the old man, because sanctification is happening. And that word sanctified means to be set apart, okay? To be set apart. Set apart from what? This world that we live in. Because we are not of this world. If you're saved today, though we may live in it, man, we're just temporary residents here because we are seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, right? Today, right? From the moment of salvation, we are with him and we are just temporarily here to do his work. What if we would just, man, say, okay, God, get to work. I'm done trying to do this on my own. I'm a child of you. I've surrendered my life to you, but oftentimes I get in the way. Oftentimes I do things that really just mess things up. And God, I'm tired of that. God, I want to be this. I want to renew that faith in me. Renew that strength in me. Man, perfect me. He will. He will do that. Let's pray.